We are unable to speak this morning. We are on the Henry Rain Show on WWPR AM 1490. We are talking about the John Edwards case. The verdict came back, or lack of verdict, I guess, would be more or less what we want to talk about. The Commodore 64 has decided to agree. We will have a partial podcast up from this morning. My apologies to those of you who are going to hear this on podcast. You missed the first early portion. We are, like I said, talking about the John Edwards case. And we have another caller. You're live on the air.
Good morning, Robin. Good morning, Jim. This is Terry Felling.
Good morning, Terry. How are you today?
I'm excellent. Thank you. Hey, listen, as long as you're there, Jim, I'd like to tap into your legal thinking and to differentiate between O.J. Simpson's criminal case,
right,
which he won, and then the civil case, which he lost. What is the difference, and is this related to the Edwards case?
No, not at all. The burden of proof. In a criminal case, it's beyond beyond and the exclusion of reasonable doubt. Basically, you cannot flip-flop. You have to, you agree, you know, basically he's guilty. The burden of proof or the standard is different in a civil case, more likely than not. Big
okay.
difference. It's easier to win a civil case than it is to win a criminal case. A criminal case, the standard is very high. The standard is
okay.
very high. That's the difference.
Then I guess the follow-up thing to that one, if you have a moment, is to explain what's going on with Buchanan. Is that a civil case? Is that a criminal case?
That's a good question.
What's
Terry.
Going on with him?
It's potentially criminal.
Because
you've got the FBI. I want to talk about this morning, but it was just so complex because you've got so many people coming after him. You know, you've got the FBI, the FEC, the this, the that. And I didn't put on the list for today because it was just a little complex, but it seems like everybody's coming after him.
Oh, my.
And we don't hear anything about it, Terry.
No, there's very little on the air. But then I was just thinking about Pam Bondi being in the Cayman Islands with Mitt Romney's money, and maybe they're just having a big party.
I wouldn't be surprised if Vern Buchanan didn't get an invitation to that wedding. I mean, let's not forget who Vern Buchanan was. He was the finance chair for Mel Martinez.
Oh, my God.
Okay, and this guy knows money. Let me tell you, say anything you want about him, he knows how to make money. I mean, he was like top 10 richest when he got up there.
Buchanan?
Right.
Okay,
well, the man is self-made. Let's say, well, nobody's really self-made, but I'm looking at it in the general sense of self-made. Very powerful, gave out a lot of money. There's a lot of buildings named after Vern Buchanan. Just walk down there to the Chamber of Commerce. I mean, but with making money, there's always a skeleton or two in your closet.
Even those of us who are poor have skeletons. I mean,
everybody, but his skeletons are a lot bigger because all have to do with making money. And those are some of the worst.
Terry, thank you. We've got another caller waiting on the line.
Thank you, Terry.
Have a good day, both of you. Bye-bye.
Yes, but I guess the answer to the question, it has a chance to be criminal.
Caller, you're live on the air.
It was the operator. We getting a call from the jail?
I don't know.
Oh, okay, well, they're
all I heard was the operator's voice, but they're not there. And for the record, we don't take calls from the jail. We don't have it in the budget to accept the call.
We should. Oh, another thing.
You could sponsor that for the station.
Oh, God, no, man. I don't want to hear what those guys think. I talk to them enough as it is.
Come on, it would be a service to your clients. Caller, you're live on the air.
Good morning.
What's up, Lawrence?
Your first call this morning, who evoked my name. And
it's okay.
Name.
It's okay.
Yeah, and I know. I wanted to point out that President Clinton was impeached and tried for perjury in front of a grand jury, nothing to do with his illicit affair.
No.
And
true.
And secondly, Senator Edwards was tried for illegal use of campaign funds.
Campaign.
Not the illicit affair.
And did they exceed, and the question was, did they exceed the allowable amount,
right,
and
right.
what were they used for?
Right.
Correct.
Did it have anything to do with the affair, either gentleman?
No.
Hold on, Lawrence.
One thing at a time. My guy, if you're going to call, I want to have this conversation. You know, what they do is, this is a thing that prosecutors do a lot, is they paint you as a cad. Hopefully that they will find you guilty of doing the other thing that they're accusing you of. Basically, what they do is they muddy the water, they color it gray, and they hope that, okay, well, so if he's a bad person, he must be a criminal also. Robert?
The crime was not the illicit affair. The charge was not.
Did you not listen? Did you not?
Okay, hold on. Ben's going to repeat.
No, go ahead. No, leave him up.
Okay, well, let
you not? That's what I'm saying. Is it's
okay,
smoke and mirrors. No, I agree with the Lord. It's always smoke and mirrors.
But it sounded like Fish and you agreed.
No. Time out. Look, Lawrence. Look, just because I don't look, he gets the right to speak. He spoke.
Yes.
He wasn't disrespectful, so I'm gonna let him speak. Whether I agree with him or not, that's really not the issue. Okay.
Hold on, Lord.
All I'm telling you is, it's a very common what you try to do with the defendant if you're the prosecutor. See, because here's the thing: if jurors like you, they might. Hold on. If jurors like you, or they like your attorneys, they're more inclined to listen to you. So what you try to do is you paint the guy as a bad guy. You're dehumanizing him.
Right.
So what you do is, okay, he's a cad, so
yeah.
So what you infer is, well, if he's a cad there...
Shoot the messenger.
Should...
I got that part.
I'm not sure.
Do you agree or disagree? Those two gentlemen, Clinton and Edwards, were tried and or convicted or not on perjury or possible misuse of campaign funds. Isn't that the case? Nothing to do with their illicit affairs.
I think
yes
that
no?
The question is a little complex in general. I guess yes, but there's a little more to it. There's a lot more to it than that.
I think
that.
What they were... Okay, there's paperwork, there's what it says on paper, but I think... They basically were put on trial for cheating on their wives.
Right, but Augie was getting at was that where this started... This started with somebody trying to make a name for themselves and make Edwards an example. Yes, that's how it started. There's no doubt about that. With Clinton, it was a witch. Let's not be naive. It was a witch hunt after Clinton. It was a witch hunt after Edwards. I mean, let's not be mistaken.
Did you ever read the Star Report?
Parts of it many years ago.
I did.
It was a witch hunt.
What a waste. I'll tell you what.
Yes.
It was like reading some kind of bad soap opera.
Yeah.
It was... You couldn't put it down once you start. Well, maybe you could, but at the time, I sat and I read, because they were publishing in my local paper, and every section. I sat down every day, it came out, and I read it, and I was like, I cannot believe that we are wasting federal funds and money and time and effort when the president, let's be honest, had better things to do.
Yeah, it starts out a witch hunt. Now, if they discover something that's valid, is a different issue. So, yes, the answer is ultimately they were convicted or not convicted of those specific crimes. But it started out as something different. And let's not be naive, you know.
Yeah, and I have, Jim found this video. John Edwards, you know, when we opened up the show, and again, unfortunately, those of you at the partial podcast won't catch it, legal guilt and moral guilt, two different things.
Correct.
And Mr. Edwards has, pretty sure he has some pretty good moral guilt going on, and we have a little bit of audio from this week on him. Here we go. As soon as the video, come on. There we go. It's been coming up.
While I do not believe I did anything illegal or ever thought I was doing anything illegal, I did an awful, awful lot that was wrong. And there is no one else responsible for my sins. None of the people who came to court and testified are responsible. Nobody working for the government is responsible. I am responsible. And if I want to find the person who should be held accountable for my sins, honestly, I don't have to go any further than the mirror. It's me. It is me and me alone. Next thing I want to say a word about are the people that I love, because it's been an incredible experience for me to watch my parents. My dad just turned 80. My mom, who's 78. Tromp up here from Robbins, North Carolina every day to be with me and to support me. And I love them so much, and they did such a wonderful job raising me and my brother, Blake, and my sister, Kathy, who I also love dearly. I also want to say a word about my own children. Kate, who most all of you have seen, has been here every single day. She has been here no matter what, no matter how awful and painful a lot of the evidence was for her. Evidence about her dad, evidence about her mom, who she loves so, so dearly. But she never once flinched. She said, Dad, I love you. I'll be there for you no matter what. And I'm so proud to have had her with me through all this process. And then finally, Emma, who turned 14 recently, Emma Claire and Jack, who just turned 12, who I take care of every day, and I've not been able to see them quite as much, but I see them in the morning, I get their breakfast ready, get them off to school, and then we get home at night and we all eat supper together. And I love them both so dearly, and they're such an important part of every day of my life. And then finally, my precious Quinn. Who I love more than any of you could ever imagine.
Mm. Priceless.
What's funny is, before he was going out to speak, I was thinking to myself, if I was advising Edwards, you know, if I was a spin master, because that's kind of what we do, let's be honest. You know, attorneys, you always kind of put the, you don't lie, contrary to popular belief, you put the best spin on it possible.
Well, and you touched on it, if the jury likes you. Right. You know, right. A lot of times, right. And I've read stuff on this, a likable attorney versus a dislikable attorney.
Very powerful.
The likability of the one attorney might actually count more with a jury than facts. And
look,
that's scary, but it's the fact. It
Robert,
is the truth.
The way you walk down the hall, the way you sit down, the way you talk to your client, the way you talk to them, the way you handle yourself, the way you carry yourself, the words you use sometimes, it's all very important. Anyway, so I was thinking to myself, what would I tell him? And basically, it's sort of what he did. I think my thing would have been is, look, yes, you know what, I would have said something to the fact that, look, the jury found me not guilty, but you know what, I am guilty. You know, I'm guilty of being a bad husband. I'm guilty of being a bad father. You know, so I think the first part, I think, was very good. I think where he went too far, and that's where hubris comes into play. You see, and this is the problem with John Edwards. There's no doubt that what John Edwards showed over these last few weeks, he is one of the most brilliant attorneys, period. He had the foresight to know that he could beat this. He handled himself because most people would have taken a plea. I mean, that it looked ugly. But
no,
it was so confusing.
Guy.
It was so confusing. He knew, you know what I mean? And let me tell you, having an attorney as a client is the worst client you have because they're second-guessing you. They think they know better. So, but I think when he talked about his kids, I think it was a mistake. He didn't talk about Elizabeth. I think that was a mistake. I think he should have ended it where basically he was saying, look, I'm a scumbag. He unfortunately laid the groundwork for his future. I'm not sure that was the time for the play. I said, I was getting goose pimples because I was thinking, this is the way you handle it. Yes, I'm a jerk. You know, I'm a jerk. I might be innocent of the legal part, but, man, I am so guilty of being a bad father, bad husband. And I wish you would have left it there because I think that's what really people want to hear. And it sounds sincere. I'm not sure I would have brought the kids up at all. I think I would have said thanks to my family and sort of, but I would have really said something about Elizabeth.
Yeah, and the only time he mentioned Elizabeth is when he talked about Kate loves her mom. And, of course, we're over the air. You can't see this. You can find this video on a couple of different sites. Look it up. It is fascinating. First of all, from his choice of clothing, a very pale green tie, no power tie, very low-key. But what I found very telling is the looks on the face of his faces of his parents. They look pained, like they're like
right.
They don't look like they're buying it, but they're standing there because he wanted them to. And the part where he really lost me, I was kind of on the edge because, you cheated on your wife. A lot of people do. You cheated on your dying wife. This is what really hurt him. At the end,
right.
When he talks about Kate and he talks about Emma and he talks about Jack, and his voice catches when he talks about the baby from the affair, it was so it came off phony to me.
I don't think he came off phony. I think he pushed it one step too far. I mean, not that it was overall, I think it was good. I like the way it's kind of, you know, mea culpa type of stuff. I just think that sometimes that he might think, I think he's been too successful in a way, and I think sometimes you have to eat a lot of crow, and you just have to, it's one of those, I apologize if I offended you.
Yeah, and he's,
as opposed to, look, I'm a jerk.
The best part of this whole video is Kate's face when he gets into Quinn. There's a cringe there, and it's very brief.
What is she going to do?
But, well, you know, what a lot of times these people who cheat don't remember is, yeah, it's between you and your spouse, but the people who really end up hurt the most when a parent cheats are the kids.
And I guess we'll know more about it in the future when she writes her book.
I'm sure she will. Everybody writes a book.
And I don't mean that as a bad thing. I mean, that's just the way it is.
Bristol Palin has a book. I'm not sure about what, but she has one, you know.
Just say no. Look, I'm pregnant. I live with my boyfriend. Don't listen to what I did. Yeah, don't do as I do. But just say no.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Anyways, we have a couple.
And I know that was a cheap shot.
You
I'm
know
sorry.
What? And
but it's true.
I'll give you that, but sometimes
cheap shots are true. They are true.
It's really hard to go around promoting your campaign ticket as the family values people when your 16-year-old is knocked up. You know, but then there's a way to spin that.
I think there is. I wish I would have been there. I would have spun it.
We have a caller. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How are we doing today?
Good morning. What's going on?
Well, I just wanted to make a quick comment about the trial that you were talking about.
Oh, it's Pedro. I didn't recognize your voice.
You didn't? Now, I've got a new phone, and I'll be honest with you, it's a smartphone, and I think it's smarter than me.
I don't think they're very smart, but go ahead, Peter. What do you have for us?
You sound better, though. You actually sound clearer, Peter, so it's a good thing.
Okay. Anyways, Ken Starr didn't go after Bill Clinton on the sexual thing.
Wait, we're not that really going to talk about Clinton, are we, Pedro?
But no, but that Whitewater was about a thing about, you know, similar to, you know, John Edwards. They were looking for campaign financing, mm-hmm. and Ken Starr went into Whitewater, and McDougal's went to jail. There was someone that went to jail in that.
But the Starr investigation wasn't about Whitewater. The Starr investigation was about perjury in regards to the Monica Lewinsky instance.
Let's
be honest. It was a witch hunt against the Clintons.
It wasn't a witch hunt.
Okay. We're going to retry. Here's the problem. We're going to retry this whole Clinton thing, and it's already old, Pedro. Let's talk about Edward. Give me something about purging the voter rolls in Florida. Give me something that's now, right now.
Yeah, what do you think about the Governor Scott and the Republicans trying to purge so many voters from the rolls, Peter? I'd like to know from your point of view.
I brought that subject up. They said there's 180,000 unregistered voters, but questionable whether they should be on the voting rolls.
Okay, let's turn around.
You got to purge out.
Hold on, Peter.
So the 91-year-old World War II veteran that they've just purged, he's questionable whether he should be allowed to vote. I'm going to read this from the article. A 91-year-old decorated World War II veteran and small business owner in Fort Lauderdale are just two of the casualties of the faulty data. In an independent investigation by the Miami Herald, the largest groups of voters affected by the purge are Hispanic, Democratic, and independent-minded voters. And already more than 300 wrongly targeted eligible voters have been identified in Miami-Dade County alone.
So the state kept horrible records. There's an issue with this. This is a big issue, and it has to be fixed. There's going to be issues. There's going to be people that are going to get purged.
Hold on a second. Let's back up that purging, because I think we're skipping by the main point. Now, do you agree with me that voting is a right, correct?
Yes, voting is a... Okay. Wait a minute.
No, hold on.
You can lose that right if you're a convicted
fair enough. Ballot. Fair enough, but it's a right, correct?
Yes, it is
okay,
a right.
Okay, so... the way it's set up is the Constitution, this great Constitution that you like talking about, when you have to basically, you have the burden of proof. The government has the burden of proof when they're going to take away a right, whether it be your liberty, your voting rights, your gun rights. They have the proof. So what they're doing is they are switching the burden over to, they're saying, look, you are purged from the voting rolls. Now you have to prove to me you're an eligible voter. There's something very wrong with that. And look at the numbers, Peter. Down in Miami-Dade. If the government's going to take away your rights, they have the burden. If you are charged with a sex crime or a robbery, you don't have to do anything. The state has the burden to prove. To take away your life and liberty, the state has to prove you're guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. You don't have to go up there and prove you're innocent. And what they're asking the people to do is prove that you have the right to vote. That's not constitutional.
Maybe that's true, but it would take years and years and years to solve that.
Well, you know what? Hey, Peter, it's your constitution you guys love. You can't use it when you like it and not use it when you don't like it.
Well, it's not with you liking it. You don't have to prove that you're a citizen when you register to vote. Do you know that?
Yes, you do. When
you get to the rolls, you have to provide ID, which you can't get, or you get your ID that proves you're eligible. There's all sorts of things. But, Peter, we have to move on. We have another caller.
There isn't a piece of paper that says that, you know, here, I'm a United States citizen card. But anyway, let's go ahead.
Caller, you're live on the air.
Hey, good morning, Jim. Good morning, Rob.
What's going on, kid?
Thank you. Big news in Florida is that the Justice Department has ordered the state of Florida to stop the purge of voters.
Absolutely, that's inaccurate and flawed,
which the state admits the voter lists are flawed voter lists.
And the supervisor elections themselves, the elected officials, 66 of them themselves agree with it. Ken?
Yeah, no kidding. A huge number of. Supervisors of elections have said that the results are dubious, that they don't trust the lists that the state has used.
Yeah.
The Justice Department says that that the state of Florida needs Justice Department approval to make any changes to Florida voter laws, and that affects the seven counties that are subject to approval from the Voting Rights Act of 1965.
Right.
Also, there's a law that says no changes to voter rolls can be made within 90 days of an election, and that's
right.
obviously
right.
You know, in violation of the law, too. You know, you have to ask yourself, what is it that the people in the governor's office and the Division of Elections, what is it that, and the attorneys up there, what is it that they don't understand about unconstitutional and illegal?
Oh, they understand it. The thing is, all they know is they want to win. But here's the short-sightedness of this. Okay, look, it's easy for them to say, look, let's target these groups because they're going to vote Democratic. Okay, fine, fair enough. Hispanic, blacks, minority. Okay, fair enough. Let's get them off the door. Now, here's the short-sightedness of people in general. If one side uses it against the other when they're a majority, what's not to say it can't be turned around? So then let's say a Democrat gets in and says, you know what, white people 65 and older tend to vote for the other side, so I'm going to purge the voter rolls because I think none of these people are eligible to vote. So I'm going to purge them, and now this 65-year-old, 85-year-old has to come down and prove to me they're an American citizen. It's the same thing. It's exactly the same thing. I just think, again, it's short-sightedness. It's short-term thinking. You know, you think you're gaining the system, but you're really doing is you're really hurting yourself in the long run because people do not give up power. And once you start fighting with a knife, the other side's going to bring a gun. The other side brings a tank. The other side brings a nuclear weapon.
Somebody
I think we're in trouble, Ken.
Somebody has to say enough's enough. Ken, thank you. We have another caller waiting on the line.
Right,
thank you.
Thank you, Ken.
Caller, you're live on the air.
Hey, thanks, Robin. Good morning, Jimmy. Good show this morning, guys. Good show, everybody.
What's going on, man? How you doing?
Good. You mentioned Pam Bondi. I just wanted to bring up the fact that she fired the two lawyers that were investigating mortgage fraud.
That's true. And that happened, Nick, am I correct? That was at the beginning, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was as soon as she took office.
Right.
And these two lawyers had logged 1,200 hours.
Right.
They had asked her, hey, can we give you our information? Can we send you the notes? Can we give you the whatever, the legal stuff? And she's like, nah, we don't need it.
Yeah, I heard about that. And what was her reason at the time? I guess they had substandard. She said they were substandard reviews, and it turned out that they had nothing but stellar reviews.
Yeah, that's right. And they were quoted on the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, this, that. Anyway, it's just, the point is that this Republican administration we got here in the States and been with the banks. Thanks for the show, guys.
Yeah.
Peace. Have a good day.
Thanks, Nick.
You know what's funny again? I saw a announcement for a Republican running for state senators. Whatever it was a state position. And it's funny, the slogan was, let's take Florida back. And I'm thinking,
From who?
I think you've been in power now for over 14 years. Who are you taking it back from?
It's selling. Yeah, it's marketing. It's selling.
Yeah.
And there's people who, I always say, take it back from who? Take it back to where? Forget all that. Let's move forward. Let's drop all this nonsense, move forward. But take it back. It's a great, great marketing ploy. I love it.
Let's take it back from
brilliant.
My other fellow Republicans.
Let's take it back from the rhinos. I don't know what they're talking about. Caller, you're live on the air.
All right.
Hey, Soggy, I'm going to wrap up a point that I think, and you touched on it, Jim.
Go ahead.
This purging issue, it goes all the way back to 2000. And there were 8,000 votes that were purged. Right during the election, going into it, right up to the very moment it was happening in Miami-Dade, and they believe that there's 13,000 votes that were never counted up in Osceola County, which is primarily Puerto Rican and Democratic, as
right.
well as Miami-Dade. Now, let's see, 537 votes for the separation.
Right.
No, it was one vote. It was the Supreme Court stepping up to a state election and stopping the voting, stopping the recounting.
Right.
Oh, Al Gore didn't call for an entire recount of the state.
Right.
Well, that was his fault.
Why are we ever in a position where we need to recount anything? There's something wrong here.
There should be arguments. They're all over the map. But the best one is when that one vote, or one of those one votes that settled and gave George Bush the coronation, was from Scalia, who says to people when they complain to him about that, he says, get over it.
Yeah.
That's his one sentence statement. Get over it.
Because he has
no
answer.
You lost. Get over it.
I guess if
you
lost,
played dirty or get over it.
I guess if you lost your Sonny Iraq war, you know, get over it.
Well, hey, whatever, you know, it's just one kid.
Now, they feel totally validated to do any damn thing they choose to do. The they I'm referring to is the people in power, the people you're concerned about. I come from Illinois, which is a one-party state. It's the Democratic Party up there. The Daily Machine still is in effect. And the story on Tallahassee and Chicago goes like this. In Chicago, you pay them to fill your potholes. You bribe them. In Tallahassee, you just bribe them.
Right.
See, so, and that's not just Tallahassee,
and,
trust me.
And that's kind of
well,
my whole point.
Primarily. Move Tallahassee to Orlando and see what happens.
Yeah.
Try to do that.
All right, well, yeah, impossible. But that's one thing, though. There's always a problem with one party controls everything. You know, I've always kind of believed in a little sharing of the power. I think it keeps everybody a little more honest. You know, I like the 51-49 type of situation because at least, big word, here's the word everybody hates, because it forces compromise. But if you're in power, like right now, what, like 75%, those guys control everything in Florida, there's nothing they cannot do.
Right.
There's nothing they cannot do.
And you know what, though? That can change. If people, we touched on this, you have to vote. If you're listening and you're not voting, get out there and vote. And
absolutely. Thank you, Augie, for your phone call. That was Augie, right?
That was Augie. Thanks, Augie.
Thanks, Augie.
And I just want to back up. We had talked about citizenship and voting. And Peter's right. You just send in a form, you know, to register to vote.
Right.
You can,
right.
I think there's a couple places and ways you can do it. But for those of you who haven't come up to a driver's license renewal in the last couple of years, if you
that's
have a real ID, and let me tell you something, for guys, it's easy. For the average man, it's very simple.
Oh, because the name change you get?
Birth control. Wow, that was a little Freudian. Birth certificate.
Right.
As a woman, I have had four last names. I have my birth name. I was adopted. Had a different second name. I was married twice. So I have,
yeah.
I had, oh my goodness, it was a riot. Thanks God. I am kind of OCD. So I had to come in there with my birth certificate, my legal name change from the adoption paperwork, the marriage, the paperwork, the marriage license from my first marriage, the divorce paperwork.
Wow.
And then the paperwork from my current marriage. And let me tell you something. I am never dropping Davis ever. I don't care what happens in my life.
It.
Never going anywhere else.
Yeah, it is difficult.
Trust me. I had to prove I was a citizen. I had to prove I exist. I had to prove who I am. Once you get it, you don't have to do it again.
And that's the whole point is once you get it. Right.
But if your driver's license has a yellow star, you've been through this process.
If your driver's license is newer than 2008, it's good. Because these policies were set in stone in 2002 from a memorandum of understanding by George Bush in response to 9/11. So the last basically fraudulent ones, per se, expired in 2008.
Yeah, I was having kind of a canary about all this paperwork, and the lady at the tax collector's office, she said, oh, honey, don't even go there. And I said, what do you mean? She said, I just worked with a woman who had been married 7 times
Oof.
And changed her name every time.
Ouch.
There comes a point where you just stop.
Why?
But she had basically had to prove 8 different last names, and it took her weeks to dig up all the paperwork.
We have a caller on the air.
We do. Caller, you're live on the air.
Caller, you're live on the air.
Caller, or not.
Caller,
you're live on the air.
Oh, we got about 2 minutes, right?
There you go.
Not even.
Quickly, I wanted to just put in the potpourri just a couple of thoughts. First of all, I love this week's shows with Jim.
Well, thank you.
See, everybody loves Jim. It's just not fair.
Go ahead.
They like him on Facebook.
No,
they call
I'm,
it
I'm
a compliment.
I'm
going to
hear the music any minute. First thought is the commutation of Scooter Libby's conviction of perjury by Prosecutor Fitzgerald, the same prosecutor who put a Republican governor in jail and a Democratic governor in jail. And George Bush commuted Scooter Libby, who was the chief of staff to Cheney, commuted his sentence, and the prosecutor saying that Libby basically was standing in the way of a further prosecution of Cheney when he used the metaphor of throwing up a lot of dust and dirt. Second thought is Catherine Harris purging the roles. I think the conclusion by a lot of the press was about 7,000 names, which would have clearly made the difference in Florida in 2000.
Oh, absolutely, without a doubt.
And just a general thought all week long, I can't understand why people are not in the streets and furious not only about what they're trying to do here in the state of Florida, but in all these dozen or so states where they're trying to keep people from voting. I just don't understand why people are just not furious.
Because they don't think it affects them, and that's the problem.
And, yeah, and that is true. A lot of people have a lot of apathy, and you know what? When I'm sorry, but when a World War II veteran, I'm pretty sure we know he's a citizen.
Right.
You know, we know who he is. I mean, the military keeps paperwork on the veterans a mile long, and we're going to take him off the roll. Something's really, really wrong.
Bottom line is, we look
at quickly. I thought I've had in my heart now for several months. You guys, the show that you guys put on, you hardly get anything out of it. You put a lot of work into it. And from time to time, it ought to be said, we out here really appreciate it.
Well, you know what? The way you can appreciate it is get in touch with Robin and pony up some money, and we can stay on the air. All right.
Yeah, we're not proud. We ask for money. All of the stations
But we have to. You know, nobody pays this. I mean, I pay like a little piece of chump change now, but it's not enough to keep this on the station.
Jim helps us, and our sponsors help us. All of the shows here on WWPR are self-produced. If there's a show you like, whether it's us or Edmund, who's on after us, Dr. Ridge, the guys at night, feel free to send a check for their show.
To get to the point, the problem is we think of everything as left and right. So when you're in the right, you think, okay, let's get them. We're very short-sighted, Robin. We don't think long-term, okay? Injustice is injustice. And the hardest thing sometimes, you know, when they talk about free speech is when you defend – if I defend your right and I don't like what you're saying, that's truly defending free speech. It's easy to defend a position you like. It's truly – the right thing to do is to defend other people's right.
Really quickly to wrap it up, I was at one of the ACLU meetings not too long ago here in Sarasota, and one of the questions came up. What can we do about that Beat Obama sign down there on the corner by the waterfront, by the Stiller statue? And Michael Barfield, he's on the state level. He's also one of our local representatives at the ACLU. He said, nothing. That's what free speech is about. Just because you don't like it, and we're mostly Democrats, doesn't mean it's wrong.
They asked me the same thing. I said, look, the guy owns a property. That's what he wants to put up.
It's gone now.
Oh, I made some enemies. I said, look, if he wants to do it, he can do whatever he wants. That's free speech. So, well, he sold the property. That's why.
All right. Is that why it came down?
Rob, it's been a pleasure. Val's in the office. Val's giving us the every look.
Val's giving us the get off the air.
I don't think what Val's wearing is allowed. I don't think there's any clothes on Val.
Are you
going to the beach?
You know, the sick Mick guys are listening, and they're like, why don't we have a camera up now if she's naked?
Val is in here in a bikini. There is something going on. I guess I'll let her talk about it later, but it's going to start off to be a great day.
And just a real quick announcement. For a very short time, the Henry Raines Show will be on a brief hiatus. Keep listening to the station to find out when exactly he will be returning. Radio Val will keep us posted. In the meantime, I'm going to be filling in the 5 o'clock hour with an afternoon drive show. And we are going to head out of here and head into the happiest woman with Edmund Rainer.